The Bible clearly informs us and instructs us that we as Christians possess the power we need to change our circumstances. So what does it mean when I say we have power? Let's examine this word power. Power is the ability, the strength, and the capacity to do something. To have power over someone or something is to have the ability to control or command that person or that thing. Acts 1 and 5 says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So in essence, the power that you have is connected with the power of God. 2 Samuel 22 verse 33 states that God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. So I want to talk to you on this morning from the subject, unleashing the power to change your circumstances. Unleashing the power to change your circumstance. I pose this question to you. If God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect, why are so many Christians in crises? Why are so many Christians letting their circumstance dictate their destiny? It is time for some introspection. Have you not taken hold of the authority that you possess? Do you know how to exercise your power? How do you tap into that power that will change your circumstance? The answer is a simple one. Prayer. Prayer is the vehicle that will unleash power from on high. Prayer is the avenue that will bring change to your circumstances. It will bring change to your situation. I can remember the mothers of the church telling us when we were younger, no prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. As we go through life, God wants us to hold on to his word that states the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. The NIV translation says, "The prayers of a righteous man is powerful and effective." I believe that God wants to send a word of encouragement this morning. Many of you are and will be praying for certain things, praying for some situations to be worked out, praying for some mountains to be moved. It is going to seem as if God has not heard your prayer, but you must hold on to the word that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. You will be victorious. Your circumstances will change. You will be all that God has called you to be. It doesn't matter what things look like right now, because the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. Let us focus on prayer for a moment. Prayer is one of the greatest tools one can have in this world because it opens the door to a dialogue with God. Prayer is a form of communication between you and God. Prayer is an opportunity to transcend the world in any given moment and connect with the only true and living God. Now, for those prayers to be effective, they must be founded on the Word of God, not on the tradition of the church. Prayer is the Word of God alive in our mouth, spoken with faith, believing that God will honor His Word. God wants us to call on Him, and He tells us if we will call on Him, He will answer with great and mighty things. Matthew Henry states that in prayer, we must not look to the merit of men or the merit of man, but to the grace of God. It is not enough to say a prayer, but we must pray in prayer. Thoughts must be fixed, desires must be firm and ardent, and graces exercised. Power to change the circumstances around us lies in the Word of God and our knowledge of that Word. The understanding of the Word is given to us through the Holy Spirit. We apply the Word of God in the name of Jesus. We speak the Word of God to situations and circumstances individually or together as believers, praying one for another with joy, knowing we will receive. Understand this. Prayer cannot work where doubt lives.
Amen.
Prayer cannot work where the Word of God does not live. When we doubt that our prayers will be answered, we doubt the truth of God's Word. We doubt God. If we have failures in our life, it is a prayer failure. The failure is because the Word of God is not embedded deep within our hearts. As believers, our hearts, our minds, our mouth should be full of the Word of God. Let's take a look at the life of Brother Hezekiah to see how to unleash the power of prayer to change your circumstances. Just to give you a little background history so you can understand what's going on. Hezekiah was born in Jerusalem in 1753 BC. He lived in the palace with his father, King Ahaz. Ahaz was supposed to be the king of God's people. He was supposed to be the spiritual leader of the nation, but he was far from it. Ahaz made idols to Baal, and he worshiped these false gods. He offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every very spreading tree. And he gathered together all the furnishings of the temple of God and took them away. He even shut the doors of the Lord's temple so people could not worship God. And in turn, he set up altars to other gods at every street corner in Jerusalem. Hezekiah became king at age 25. He reigned 29 years. According to 2 Chronicles 29:2, his reign was a good one. He took the throne during a crucial time in Judah's history. Assyria had recently conquered Aram, and during the early part of his reign, the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. And Judah itself had to pay an annual tribute to Assyria. With the encouragement of the prophet Isaiah, Hezekiah undertook a religious reform in removing idolatrous elements from worship, cleansing and sanctifying the temple, and restoring the Levites to their temple duties. He sent letters across Judah and Israel to have the people attend a Passover celebration. The celebration was a huge success. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 30:26, it says that Jerusalem hadn't seen a celebration like that since the days of King Solomon. Hezekiah strengthened Judah politically, expanded its borders, and had the people tithe their crops. He built an underground tunnel to bring water into Jerusalem in case of a siege. Later, King Sennacherib invaded Judah, surrounded Jerusalem, and sent Hezekiah a letter stating basically that Judah should surrender, claiming that the Assyrian gods were stronger than the Lord God. Hezekiah and Isaiah, they prayed to the Lord. You know what happened? God answered Hezekiah and Isaiah by saying that he would defend and save the city. That night, 185,000 Assyrian troops mysteriously died, and their bodies were seen all across the landscape in the morning. You can find that in 2 Kings 19:34-35. Truly, this is a powerful demonstration that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. Amen. This leads us right into our text. Verse 1 says, in those days when Hezekiah was sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. I'm quite sure that this was not a prophecy that Hezekiah was expecting to receive. None of us would want to hear that from the Lord, to set our house in order because we were going to die. Now, why was Hezekiah now in this position? I just told you all of the good things that Hezekiah did and how God answered his prayers in the past. What happened to cause this situation in Hezekiah's life? Well, if we journey to 2 Chronicles 32:24-25, it says this. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. He prayed to the Lord, who answered him and gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah's heart was proud, and he did not respond to the kindness shown him. Therefore, the Lord's wrath on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. So earlier, I posed a question. If God is my strength and power and he maketh my way perfect, why are so many Christians in crises? The answer lies here with Brother Hezekiah. He became prideful in what he had. Although Hezekiah was a godly man and he walked humbly all the days of his life, but he had a character flaw, pride. Proverbs 16 and 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. God hates pride and cannot put up with arrogant and prideful people. The sin of pride is perhaps more destructive than any other sin. It is the root cause of the malice and evil in the heart of humanity. It is what separates us from God. So in order to unleash the power to change your circumstances, we must stop doing those things that God hates. In Hezekiah's case, it was pride. It may be something else in your life that is causing you to stay in the same rut over and over, regardless of how many times you pray to God for deliverance. Sometimes we are the ones that are holding up our own deliverance.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. Let's venture back to 2 Kings 20, verse 2. The text goes on to say, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. So here we have Hezekiah immediately turned his face away from his attendants in the room so he could pray to God. And he wept bitterly. His house wasn't in order. He was dying. His country's fate was uncertain with Assyria nearby, and he had no son to take the place on the throne. Hezekiah was brought down to his knees and was reminded just how much he needed God. And in a voice of repentance and desperation, he cried out, remember, O Lord, how I walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. In other words, Hezekiah cried out to the Lord, God, I've tried my best to serve you. Sometimes we need to just cry out to the Lord. Hezekiah had been a godly man his entire life, but it wasn't his deeds that got the Lord's attention that day. It was his faith, his prayer, and his tears. In order to unleash the power to change your circumstances, you must pray humbly before God. We must pray from the heart.
That's right.
We don't have to use big words. When you pray, you can just have a conversation with God. God, it's me again. I done messed up. I know your word says I should not do this, and I did it. God, forgive me. Just have a conversation. If you're young, you can use your slang language. talk to God. Yo, what's up, God? Yeah, here I am. I need you. I need some help. I know I didn't study the way I was supposed to study, but God, this test, I need you to bring some things back to my remembrance. The stuff that I did let sink in. Help me. I need your help. Just talk to God. Have a communication. Hezekiah prayed. He asked God to intervene in his life. This is what we need to do. If you really want God to act on your behalf, if you are really tired of sin, if you really need help, then you need to ask God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." John 14 and 14 says, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." John 15 and 7 says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you." Amen. We can pray God's word back to God. Tears streaming down. "God, I need you right now. God, your word says, if I ask anything in your name, you will do it. God is a man that he shall not lie. The word shall not return void." You throw God's word to him. "God, I need your help." The word of the Lord says, "Cast all my cares on you because you care for me." That's why it's so important to know the Bible, to know the word of God, to read your scriptures. Because when your heart is hurting, when you're in pain, when you're stressed out, when life is not going the way it should, you can lean on the word of God and find strength. The Bible lets us know many are the afflictions of the righteous. So the Bible already lets us know that we will have trouble. Just because we are Christians does not mean we're not going to have trouble. We are going to have trouble because the Bible said so. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But then there's a comma and a but. And my husband often says this. When you say but, that cancels out everything you said before. So if I say to you, "You look lovely in that dress," but I just canceled out everything I just said. So many are the afflictions of their righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him out of them all. So that cancels out many are the afflictions, so we can get through our troubles. We can unleash the power that God has given to us to change our circumstances. We don't have to stay in that same situation that we find ourselves in. Pray and believe. The Bible states in verse 4 and 5, before Isaiah had left the middle court. So you get what was happening, right? Hezekiah was praying. Isaiah the prophet already prophesied to him. And he was on his way out, going on his way. Hezekiah cried out to the Lord. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, that this is what the Lord, the God, your father David says, I have heard your prayers. Whew. I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. God said to Hezekiah, I have seen thy tears. One reason our prayer lives are impoverished is that God is saying, I haven't seen any tears. There is no answer because there is no anguish. We peel off a few petitions before God falling to sleep. Sometimes we even forget that we even prayed them a few days later. And then expect that kind of prayer to touch God. The literal translation of Matthew 7:7 is, keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open.
Amen.
Whew. This carries the idea of urgency and fervency and persistence. He wants us to have holy boldness and tenacity, like Jacob. When Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord and grabbed hold and said, I will not let go until you bless me. Dr. L.R. Scarborough used Hezekiah's prayer as an example of the kind of praying that brings revival. We need a burdened heart. It is the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous that availeth much. The effectual prayers of a righteous man, the prayers of a righteous man are effective and powerful. No matter what your circumstance may be, it is not your destiny. Now, I don't know what your circumstances are, but you know, and I'm letting you know, it is not your destiny. Just to rattle off a few things so maybe you can get an idea of what I'm talking about. Drugs may be your circumstance, but it's not your destiny. Prayer can change things. Alcohol may be your circumstance, but it is not your destiny. Prayer changes things. Pain may be your circumstance, but it is not your destiny. Prayer changes things. Abuse may be your circumstance, but it is not your destiny. Prayer changes things. Sickness may be your circumstance, but it is not your destiny. Prayer changes things.
Amen.
Whatever it is, whatever you're going through, we're all going through something. If you're living and breathing, you're going through something. And if you aren't, you will be. That's just life. Sometimes life seems so unfair. But we don't have to take what life dishes out to us. We have and serve a prayer answering God. The same way God changed his mind because Hezekiah prayed, God will do the same for you. Amen. That baby is such an encouragement. Amen. You keep saying amen. You are agreeing with the word of God. Amen. So I'm here to encourage you to push on this morning. And just want to let you know that I'm using PUSH as an acronym, which means pray until something happens. So when you hear me say, come on, push, I'm telling you to pray until something happens. And also synonymous with it is praise until something happens. So this morning, you got to push, because the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. For when I was sick, I prayed and he healed me. When I was lost, I prayed and he found me. When I was broken, I prayed and he fixed me. When I was depressed, I prayed and he encouraged me. When I was crying, I prayed and he wiped my tears. Don't give up because you don't see anything yet. Woo. Don't give up. Don't give up because your breakthrough has not come yet. Remember, it's not through your power that you are going to get out of your situation, but it's through the wonder-working power of God. You must remember, I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. Your breakthrough may be delayed, but it's not denied, so push. Your deliverance may be delayed, but not denied, so push. Pray until something happens. Your healing may be delayed, but it's not denied. It's not. Woo! Push! The prophet Habakkuk said, your dreams, your miracle, your breakthrough, although it tarries, it shall surely come to pass. So push! That's why I have to praise him in advance. Sometimes your situations have you burdened down so heavy. That's why we come and we praise God. That's why we give God a hand praise. That's why we lift up our hands. We give God praise because the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. So God lives in your praise. So sometimes you can't be quiet. After all the stuff you've been going through, nobody knows your story but you. The struggles that you went through all week long. We don't know what it took for you to get into the house of the Lord this morning. You come in with a smile on your face, but your heart is broken. And sometimes you just need to cry out to the Lord. You need to lift up your hands and just let the tears flow down and let God heal you. It's okay. It's okay. Praise is an action word, something that we must do. So that's why I will praise him in the midst of my situation. If you see me jump, I'm praising God in the midst of my circumstance, because I know God is going to answer me. My circumstances will not dictate my destiny, because my prayers are effective and powerful. It always won't be like this. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever struggle, whatever situation, it won't always be like that. because your prayers are powerful and effective. So that's why we have to keep on praying until something happens. We have to keep on worshiping. We have to keep on giving God glory, giving God honor, trusting, and pressing on. And I'm going to close out with this. I have to keep hope. Keep on hoping. For I know that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds in the veil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other grounds are sinking sand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you don't mind, let's just give God a hand praise right now. Hallelujah. And as you're giving God a hand praise, know that God is working out your situation. Know that God is turning things around. Knowing that God is blessing you right now.
Amen.
That's the word for today. Unleashing the power to change your circumstance. Amen. Let me just pray. Father, we thank you for the word. God, I know that word was for somebody. Hallelujah. God, I pray that you would show yourself strong and mighty to those that believe and receive this word. God, as they pray, even on tonight, God, you perform miracles. Just give them a little taste of what you're about to do, how you're about to change the situation, just like you did for Hezekiah. God, see the tears, hear the prayers, and move by your power divine. God, we believe it, we receive it, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.